This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. Today is October 10th. Tomorrow is October 11th and the start of the New York Yankees versus the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Divisional Series. Game one. Both me and Tyler will be in the building.
Let's go.
Very exciting, Tyler. Playoffs are finally here. We have a official announced lineup of the pitchers. We have to wait for the lineup tomorrow. We have some other news to get into. So this is our official playoff preview one day before. So we appreciate you guys for listening. If you're new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe. Leave us a rate and review. Really appreciate it. It helps us out, helps us grow. But yeah, Tyler, dude, this is what we've been doing all these podcasts all season.
Hell yeah, man.
This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been waiting for, man. We're finally to October. We're finally to playoff baseball. I know this, me watching this past weekend, just watching, you know, the Mets, the Cardinals. Also, it was very weird hearing Michael Kay call a Cardinals-Phillies game.
Yeah.
But that was insane, that series. Seattle with an insane comeback on, as we like to call it, the frauds and of the Blue Jays.
Yep.
So
all year I said it, Rob, the damn Jays.
Yeah, so.
Frauds.
Dude, I'm freaking excited. I'm ready to go. We were just making our plans of how we're going to link up before for, you know, Billy's or Stan's or whatever, getting ready before game. So I'm pumped, man. How are we feeling?
Dude, I'm super hyped. It is it's Columbus Day, right, Rob?
Yes, it is Columbus.
Okay, cool.
Some people call it Indigenous Peoples Day, whatever floats your boat. That's what we're going with.
Gotcha. But it is also, as you said, Yankees playoff baseball, the eve of Yankees playoff baseball. Obviously, Rob, Yanks play the Guardians 7:37 p.m. tomorrow. I think there would have been a little funny stuff if the Mets won last night. I think they would have started, 6:30 the Yankees
put out?
Yeah,
they would have started an hour early.
But guess what? The Mets didn't win. So we can dance on that grave until we have to stress in about, 36 hours or something, where we'll be freaking out for the next week. But yeah, dude, I am very excited. We have a lot of stuff to cover. Some drama happened in the last couple days, dude. Little Chapman drama. Probably never see him pitch again. He's back in Miami. Dude, I'm fired up. I'm fired up for this episode. Earliest episode in the Savage history, I believe. We are 8:04 a.m. right now. But yeah, dude, I'm fired up. Hype for tomorrow.
Let's go. Yeah, I had to get it out to the people so they can listen today and into tomorrow. So yeah, playoff preview official. Tyler, mentioned it. I think the elephant in the room of what we've been talking about is, would Aroldis Chapman be on this playoff roster? And the Yankees said,
how about no?
Because he is not on there. And the way that he was left off this was he missed a mandatory workout, and they actually had Cashman talking about it in a presser, as well as Boone. And yeah, we're not going to see that guy pitch in the ALDS at least, but I don't really, unless something unforeseen happens with another bullpen injury or however it goes, I don't think we're going to be hearing from Aroldis Chapman in this playoffs, which, listen.
Ever again, dude. He's done.
Which is a good refresh for a lot of Yankee fans, pretty much, because if you're a Yankee fan, you remember him after huge moments, whether it's in Houston, Tampa, whatever playoff appearance that he then has us getting walked off, or it's just we lose the lead. So, yeah, Chapman not being on this roster. Listen, he had a good appearance in the Texas game, and they were talking about it on the broadcast of, is this going to then give him a better shot at the playoff roster? But I guess he just did it to himself and didn't show up, and that should give you some insight into him as a person. Just not showing up to a mandatory workout. I don't know. Show up to your job, dude. That's
legit.
Yeah.
There is some skepticism out there. I've seen that, like, I know John Boy tweeted yesterday, but I've seen a lot of Yankees Twitter being like, maybe the writing was on the wall for Chapman, and he kind of figured out somehow that he was going to be left off the playoff roster, and he was like, screw this, I'm not showing up to live ABs then. Yeah. But, dude, shout out the Yankees, and specifically Boone and Cash, for they could have just left Chapman off the playoff roster and not said anything. Fans still would have been happy. But they made fans probably happier by exposing kind of the jerkness or piece of shitness that Chapman is and just saying, hey, he didn't even show up to, you know, a huge practice right before the biggest, you know, biggest series of games this year. They didn't have to say that, but they did. And they kind of gave us, you know, some cake to eat with it. And I was like, hell yeah, man. When you texted me that, I was confused because I didn't see it yet. But then when I was very happy to hear what I heard. And then I like that Cash said Boone kind of made the decision without him, yada, yada, yada. Who knows if that's true? Probably not. But it was cool to see them just kind of throwing Chappie under the bus regardless. I mean, he can't have a lot of friends in that locker room. I really don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It always felt as though, as an outsider, that he wasn't as immersed with the team as some other guys are. At least just looking at the dugout, and that could just be me making assumptions, and I understand that, but that's just what I felt and looked at. All right, and to within this press conference, we heard about Matt Carpenter is now taking BP reps at first base. We saw a little picture with him with the glove on. So could that be something that maybe is thrown in there potentially? We also know our game one starter as well as game two and game three. So Gerrit Cole will be on the bump game one. Game two will be Nestor Cortez, and game three will be Luis Severino. So
are you surprised, Rob? Because I texted you about, what was it, 1 a.m. on Thursday, and I was like, bro, I have this feeling in my gut right now that Nestor's starting game one. Now, he didn't, which I'm cool with.
Are you surprised? I never really wavered, just only because I knew the fact that we had the pandemic season, and last year it was an away game, and Gerrit Cole was signed all this money, and he was given the title of ace pretty much, and he hasn't ever started a game one at home in the Bronx, what we got him here for. And I think that they wanted to give him that opportunity. Now, what goes past that, if we are so fortunate enough to go on to the next round, that's another story in my mind. But I thought that they were going to give it to him, and I'm very comfortable with it for him to be pitching game one, especially now too with the way that Cleveland had taxed their starters a little bit, because McKenzie and Bieber
15
were
inning game
in
dude, huh?
A 15 inning game that we'll talk about when we talk about exactly the Guardians. But yeah, I have no problem with the lineup of Cole, Nestor, Severino, and it goes back to really this is the most comfortable we should probably feel about our starting pitching in the past six postseasons that we've been in, legitimately. 100%. So,
and dude, I thought it was I kind of love the fact that Sevy is starting the away game. We kind of know Cole. I've used the word rattled a couple times. Don't know if that's the word I want to use, but I'm going to use it here. Sometimes some hiccups happen, and he can't really get over the hump when something bothers him while he's on the mound, or it's his throw day, whatever. But I think vintage Sevy with all that emotion, bro, in an away game going, I got to put the damn team on my back. I love that with Sevy. Not that I wouldn't have loved it with Nestor either, but Nestor, Cole, and the BX, I mean, dude, sign me up for that. We don't know who's pitching for Cleveland, I don't think, yet. But either way, we're feeling good right now.
Yeah. All right. What else was there?
Carps?
Yeah, Carps.
Bro, he's so good looking with the stash and the pinstripes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think so. Matt Carpenter coming back. It's interesting that they had him wearing that first base glove. So maybe that gives
that
you.
Yeah, that was weird.
Maybe that's just him getting reps, but I don't really see them taking Rizzo out of the lineup.
Yeah, because they wouldn't pinch hit a lefty for a lefty.
Yeah.
Either. And Rizzo. You know?
So I don't see that happening, but I think that's just him getting reps in. But
staying on his feet.
Yeah, staying on his feet, getting a little work under him. But yeah, Matt Carpenter, you just saw the outpouring of support for him.
Happiness, bro. All the internet.
Before May, when he came on the roster, and if you had told me that we would have some sort of Yankee fans
parade
love affair with Matt Carpenter, I've been like, that's so out of left field. But he's really that big of a part of what they're trying to do. And you've said it before, and I'll say it as well. For the value that Matt Carpenter gives you in every at-bat, and the number, the shortened number of plate appearances that he gives you, and if you look at his numbers, that is some of the best value that you can get in Major League Baseball for those plate appearances.
100%.
So now having him in there, and I think Stanton should DH, but then if you have Matt Carpenter as a weapon off the bench, that is a weapon.
That's a weapon no one else has, dude. This is our Mike King on offense, bro, that we talked about before Mike King got hurt. But, yeah, dude, I'm pretty sure you talk about, just Matt Carpenter at the plate, dude. I'm pretty sure he saw more pitches per plate appearance than anyone in the league in the 47 games he played. So that dude is making pitchers work. I just want to run through his numbers super quick. I obviously put him on Twitter this weekend. People were loving it. But, dude, in 47 games, Matt Carpenter hit .305 with a .412 on base, .727 slugging, .138 OPS, .217 OPS plus, 15 homers, dude, 37 RBIs, 24 extra base hits. I mean, that's Aaron Judge. He was Aaron Judge for 50 games almost. Mm-hmm. that's so good. Imagine if he can be that, bro, or 80% of it, 70% of it, something. Massive. I think he takes pinch hit opportunities. If he doesn't, I don't know, bro. I got a lot of skepticism going on because we said this a few weeks ago. We have no idea what this lineup's going to be.
No.
For the most part. They could pull some funny business, and it's the first time we don't know in literally as long as I can remember.
Yeah, that's why we're here to get into it. So, let's see. All right, so let's talk about just Cleveland in general. So Cleveland, they pitched Bieber and Tristan, Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie pitched quite an amount of innings in their series against Tampa. Also no offense really coming in this series.
None at all.
So honestly, very encouraging sight. For Yankee fans, I have to say.
That's what those two teams do, bro.
So, listen, that to me is just an example of why it's time to be the Bronx Bombers in the postseason and hit. And if you do that, I don't think that there should be an issue. So, yeah, McKenzie and Bieber both throw quite a few pitches in those series. And then, as well, as you mentioned, the 15-inning game on game two, which then they stretch the bullpen and a lot of arms being used there. Obviously, there's days off until tomorrow, so people are getting rest. So that will – and it's playoff time, so people are ready to throw on short rest. So that shouldn't really be an issue. But it does give you a little extra boost of encouragement if you're a Yankee fan. It's like, okay, these guys have been taxed a little bit. But I think that this is the – opportunity for I said I'd like to play the Cleveland Guardians, and I think knowing off the history that we've had with Cleveland in the playoffs, as well as you look at what they did in those first two games and you say, not a lot of offense happening. And as I said, this is a time for the Yankees to come in. You have everyone rested, Cole, Nestor, Severino. The arms are good. The bullpen is rested. Now it's time for the Yankees, where you see an offense that wasn't generating a lot of offense. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to be the Bronx Bombers.
And at home, first one since game four of Houston in 2019.
Yes, it's time to blow the doors off and fucking mash and just mash. Just do it. Just do
just
the thing.
Mash, dude.
Just mash, and that's all you got to do. And I think that you should be able to move on to the next round. That's really the keys to the game, as all they say in the pregame stuff. Like that, those are the keys to the game. You have an offense in Cleveland that isn't as dynamic as what the Yankees are, and now it's time to show why you're a better offense. I think I've said this time and time again in the first part of the season or throughout the season that the Yankees offense hinges on their three big pillars of Rizzo, Stanton, Judge. And I think that's going to reign true. And I'm excited to see postseason Stanton. He was getting hot towards the end. Judge has been a stud all year. Rizzo playing here and there towards the end had some injury issues, but he has still looked very good. And I think it's if those three guys are clicking on all cylinders, then I think the offense will have a very promising sight to behold in this series and well beyond that. So.
Yeah, dude, I think in a certain way the Yankees really do control their own destiny, but that's kind of obvious for any team at this point. We're in the playoffs. This is when it all matters, obviously. Listen, you talked about wanting to face the Indians. Or, fuck. the Guardians.
It'll happen. It's still the first year of them.
Yeah, did you see the ESPN graphic they put up?
No, I didn't.
They were like, they said it'll be Yankees – or for game two after Cleveland won, someone on ESPN put up like Tampa versus Cleveland tomorrow at whatever time, but they put Indians. And it was all over Twitter like someone at ESPN's getting fired. Yes, I'm getting fired too, whatever. But yeah, a couple pods ago, listen, I got talked in a little bit to wanting to face the Guardians. And then I'm texting Rob the other day and I'm like, bro, I don't want to face the Guardians. I want to play Tampa. At the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. We got to beat whoever's in front of us. They, like Rob said, they pitch, dude. They don't score a lot of runs. However, I do think there are some decent players on their team that can hurt us. Andreas Giménez had a really good year. I'm pretty sure he started at second base for the All-Star game this year, finished with a 141 OPS plus. And obviously the big bad Jose Ramirez, dude, he does his thing, finished with a 148 OPS plus. You got Miles Straw coming back into the building, bro. I don't think we talked a little bit about Class A. Their closer is filthy. Emmanuel Class A, in this season, he had a 136 ERA, 281 ERA plus, kind of what Clay Holmes was being the whole first half. Yeah, bro, Yankees can hit, dude, but Cleveland can pitch. I don't know who specifically we're going to see, especially in the first couple of games, but we can imagine with Bieber and McKenzie definitely not going the first game. There's a chance Bieber can go game two since there's an off day after game one. But more likely than not, we will probably see Cal Quantrill or Zach Plesac to start this series. Two dudes that aren't necessarily pushovers, Rob, but bottom line, Yanks got to come out and bang. They got to come out and mash. They got to come out and bang. They got to do their thing. But there are a few people that I don't think this lineup is as big as a pushover as everyone thinks. I don't care about the history, dude. I know we've beat Cleveland a million times, but I don't care. It's stressing me out. Josh Naylor, bro. Hate that guy.
Yeah, they have some pieces here and there that do.
Rosario?
Yeah. Ahmed Rosario doesn't make me too nervous. Yeah,
that's fine. Stephen Kwan had a good year, though. Remember he was that really hot rookie who like didn't swing and miss for like 2 weeks or something? Yeah. Like something stupid like that?
Giménez and Ramirez were both of their all-stars.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez is notorious for destroying the Yankees and has some of the best numbers amongst qualified games played against the Yankees in history. So,
why pitch to him, Rob, at all?
Yeah, it honestly.
Give him the Judge treatment. Like, why not? Make someone else beat us.
It goes to the Judge treatment, to be honest. Make the other parts of the lineup beat you because Jose Ramirez, I have no real shadow of a doubt that he'll show up. Maybe we'll get lucky and he doesn't, but he's just that good of a baseball player. But yeah, the other, like, Naylor, Giménez, those guys, they're good ball players, and at times I know Naylor in the wild card series when the first part of it.
Oh, he went like 4-for-4 or something. So five for five, nuts.
He has hit against the Yankees. So yeah, they have these little pieces, but it's time for the Yankees to just be the Yankees and out hit them. I don't know. it's all like the Yankees thing is timely hitting, man, in the postseason. Yeah. They got to do it. But I think in the DS, like, they control their own destiny, go out there and just do the thing. And you said Class A, he's been the best reliever in the American League side of it. Although, you know, it's kind of funny watching the Mets have to trot out Edwin Diaz yesterday with the trumpets.
I cannot believe they played the damn trumpets during that.
So that was funny. But yeah, Class A has been the best reliever in baseball on the American League side this year. And he's a stud. So when we get in those late game situations, although I was at the game where the craziness happened. Actually, we should talk about that. So that,
it was off Class A, right?
It was off Class A. So yeah, I think it's interesting that we have some history going with Cleveland, some recent history, that a little chippiness with Miles Straw and Kwan. And I was at the game actually sitting.
This place should be hell for Miles Straw on Tuesday.
So I was actually sitting in the bleachers, and they, like, dude, the way I saw it lead up to it, because Straw had said something to the guy in the outfield, and then just watching the amount of chance and energy that was headed towards him was insane. And this is a regular season game that I'm at. So now, tomorrow, when we're both in the building, I won't be sitting in the bleachers, but I will be in the stadium, and it will be audibly insanely loud for the Guardians, and especially Miles Straw. So it's going to be a tough playoff environment for them to play. And that's the thing, like, the playoff environment for the Yankees is such a great advantage. Like, we know it's the new stadium and it doesn't have the same lore, but dude, it is just as loud, it seems like, the way
you got to be the concrete jungle, bro.
Not a lot of players like to play there. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to see. And maybe Straw tries to, play up to what the energy is.
He definitely will.
Maybe he tries to thrive under it. So that'll be an interesting story to see too.
I think it's important, dude. I briefly said it earlier, but Yankee fans have not been in the building, bro, since 2019, Game 4, Aaron Hicks, 3-run home run off Justin Verlander. Like, that's a long time, dude.
Very long time.
And we're going to cut that, like, fans are going to come out and go nutty. You know, who knows? Maybe they thrive off that, Cleveland. I hope not. They got a lot of young dudes on that team. Specifically, I didn't mention Oscar Gonzalez either, who I'd be lying if I pretended I knew about this year. He is a rookie, had a pretty decent year, 125 OPS plus, 789 OPS. He sent the Cleveland Guardians to this game with the walk-off homer against Tampa in the 15th inning. So, I don't know, man. I'm really just at the point where every team stresses. Like, we could be playing Baltimore. Not that Baltimore is a pushover. Or we could be playing whoever, and I'd be stressed.
We just have too much time to think is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Way too much time to think. Oh, also, you heard Boone said that Matt Carpenter took Nestor deep in live ABs?
I did see that.
So. I love that.
All right. So what do you think is – let's do it. Run through your ALDS lineup. So this is probably thinking without – Benny, or because we haven't heard anything, so resolving injuries.
I feel like we have to slightly talk about Benny before we do this, because I actually think there is a chance. We haven't seen a photo of him, Rob. They haven't mentioned him.
You think he's just gonna pop up on the postseason roster when they
announce
it tomorrow?
I really think that they are hiding him as like a secret weapon of some sort. I would not be surprised at all. And Kay on the Boone on the K show a week ago was telling them, he was like, hey, I don't have a leadoff hitter. We don't know if we're going to go with Judge or Rizzo or whatever the case may be. But he's like, if I find out Benny is good to go, I can instantly stick him in the leadoff spot. I don't know what that means for Waldo and everyone else and Donaldson or IKF. But do you think he makes the roster? Obviously, we're talking lineup right now. We'll talk roster in a little bit.
I think he makes the roster. I don't...
It's crazy. I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised if they tried to pull some funny business.
I don't see him playing game one. But I would see him playing game two or three.
I don't expect it. I just think, like, in my head, I have there's a chance for some reason. I've created this chance in my head.
So this is what I think too of why I know they're both dealing with injuries right now, but I would venture.
Who, Carp and Benny, obviously?
No. Benny and DJ. So that's
okay.
So the way that I really don't think they want DJ on the team because they want him on the postseason roster because obviously he's still somewhat of a weapon if he's not 100%, and they want that flexibility if they have to go and switch around positions. But I think DJ's really operating not 100%, and they know that. So I think if Benny comes back very hopefully well and he can be put into the lineup, I think then that puts DJ to the bench somewhat, and you shift around some guys. So in a perfect world, I'd say, damn, I really want Waldo to play third base and not Donaldson. Yeah. But that's I don't know if they're really going to do that.
That's fair.
So, like, I told you, in a perfect world, when Benny comes back, I would love for Benny to be in left field, Bader in center, Judge in right, then have Waldo play third base. IKF is likely going to play shortstop, Glaber at second, Rizzo at first, Trevino behind the plate, and then the pitcher. So that's what I would think.
Wait, did you say what you said? Waldo at short and Benny in left?
Waldo at third, IKF at short, because I don't see them. IKF will be playing shortstop. To think that they're going to switch him out. But I really think DJ is operating on, like, it's tough. I think he's going to, as I said to you, I think he's going to be playing in game one, but I don't know how much he's really going to be playing as much as we'd hope he would be. So
that's fair. It's one of those scenarios where he's not, and this kind of sounds bad, and maybe it shouldn't be the way sports or baseball or whatever is played. I think there is a scenario that plays into this where Benny is not on this team right now. He's not under contract with the Yankees next year. I think that plays into effect regarding their decision-making, pushing him out there. Mm-hmm. Do you think so, or am I off on that? I don't know.
I don't know. I think
I just wrote down my lineup, and it has Benny in it because
I don't know. Does the wrist injury? The wrist injury is.
We broke like the hook bone in his hand or something.
They did tell you that it wasn't, like, they said he would be back in a month. And
yeah, he took dry swings ten days ago maybe.
So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he is feeling a lot better. And I mean, he would be a really good boost of a guy that's been there, done that. He was performing well when he was here. So I would suspect, and two, I mean, what else? I mean, the other options that you're going for would be like Hicks, and I obviously Waldo can play anywhere. So, but you know, it's a little, it's going to be a new environment for Oswaldo. But I honestly, the way that he carries himself, I think he'll be fine. But it may just be a little adjustment.
Oh, he's going to fire the stadium up.
It may just be a little adjustment period for him to get his feet under him. I don't know, but probably not. But I just think having Benny on the roster would be good because he's been a part of a group. So, I don't know. I kind of danced around your question.
I really don't know.
I kind of danced around your question, but if they put him back in the lineup, I'd be fine with it. If they don't and they have him on the bench and wait for him, I'm not going to be that mad either. It's really,
yeah. That's fair.
I don't know. It's tough.
It's an almost an unanswerable question. It really is. Just like, I have no idea if DJ's going to play, bro. I really have no idea. Benny or DJ could be in this lineup, or they could both not be in this lineup. And I wouldn't be surprised either way. Actually, I'd be extremely surprised if both of them make the lineup.
Yeah, I would be surprised if both of them do. But I think that DJ's injury,
he's hurting, bro.
He's hurting, and I don't think he's going to play as much as maybe Benny could. So
I think DJ is a bench weapon. I think that's what his max is.
I think that they put him in spots here and there.
Yeah, like we're down one in the seventh and Trevino's leading off.
Uh-huh.
And we want to walk or something. Not a knock on Trevino, but maybe DJ sees more pitches. Trevino's 0 for 4 with 4 Ks, you know, something like that. I think that's the spot DJ comes in.
All right, what is your postseason lineup?
All right, dude, I'm rolling with Benny. I'm going with Benny is playing because I just have a feeling, bro. Benny left field leading off, Judge right field, Rizzo at first, Glaber in the 4 batting or playing second, Stanton DHing. I have Oswaldo playing third, Donaldson hits the hay, Bader in center, IKF at short, and Trevino at catcher. That's what I think and what I want them to do.
Huh. Tyler, I think
only because they've hit the catcher last like for 3 months in a row.
This may be a situation where I think we have a the exact same thing outside of
really?
Trev Dog in front of IKF. This is with fair. Benny in. So now yeah. with the first lineup that I sent you was DJ at third, Judge in right, Rizzo at first, Stanton in DH. Oh, I had Stanton at 4. Glaber at second. Waldo in left field, Harrison Bader at center, Trev Dog at catcher, mm-hmm. IKF at short. But I could see that happening. Like once Benny is incorporated into the lineup, I want him batting leadoff.
Yeah.
But even
I prefer
now,
to Judge have a runner on.
Now yeah. looking at the that's the thing. Like I know Judge has been batting leadoff all year, but now it's postseason time. If I want the chance of someone setting the table for him to drive them in is what
exactly.
I'd like them to do. Yeah.
So is that what we want or what we think is going to happen? I think that's what I want.
That's what I want. What I think is going to happen is more along the lines of what I said when DJ is in and maybe playing third. But then, like, we also have to factor in that Donaldson's probably going to play.
Yeah. What I think will be the lineup tomorrow if no one can play, because I don't think DJ is starting. I think that's the toughest thing for me to grasp at. I think it will be Judge leading off, Judge or Rizzo leading off, one of the two. I think it'll be Judge in right, Rizzo at first, Glaber at second, Giancarlo DHing, Waldo in left, Donaldson at third, Bader in center, IKF at short, Trevino at catcher.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're gonna be very, very, very on the edge of our seat tomorrow.
Yeah.
The whole day, not even up until the game. Like we are going to be waiting on the lineup, postseason roster, everything.
Yeah, we'll be drinking early, 7:30 in the morning. I need to be loose. I need to kill the nerves.
All right. So we did that. Are there any notable bullpen guys that you think? Like, what do you think it will end up shaking out of? Who will be left off the roster? Like, we know Chapman's not going to be on it, so that makes it easier correct. For us.
So. I do think they pretty much came out and said, or apparently Jack Curry said something along the lines of, it looks like the Yankees will go with 12 pitchers and 14 catchers to complete the 26-man roster. Did I say catchers?
Yeah.
14 position players and 12 pitchers is what I meant. Which makes sense because you shouldn't need 13 pitchers for a 5-game series where you have 2 off days in between. 2 of the games. So I think they're going to go with 12 pitchers. 4 of them will be Cole, Nestor, Seve, J-Mo. You always have to have that 4th starter just in case Cole gets hit by a bus, he breaks his leg going down the stairs, Jeez. He gets sick, something like that. Need a backup starter. So that's 4. Let me pull up our depth. So that's 4. I think Domingo makes it at 5. I think Clay's going to make it. That's 6. I don't know if he'll be available game 1. They said that was weird, so that's 6. I think Licky makes it at 7. Wandy makes it 8. Laza makes it 9. I think Clark makes it 10. Mm-hmm. And then this is where it gets weird. Actually, I know Lou makes it at 11. Actually, no, this is easier than I thought. Efros makes it at 12. Yeah, and that's it.
Completely agree. Yeah.
I'm trying to look. I don't even think there's anything they could do.
What do you think the chances are? And I know this will I don't think he should be left off. I think he should be on the roster. But Herman? Do you think there's a chance that they shift in a different guy for Clark?
I wouldn't be surprised, because Domingo and Clark could potentially have similar roles in the ALDS. However, they have been trying to it seemed that they've been trying to use Clark as some sort of high leverage reliever at the end of the season. I don't know, like, is there a world where you could convince yourself that Albert Abreu, Greg Weiser, or Miguel Castro are more valuable than Clark Schmidt? I don't think so.
The only thing that I think that they'll factor in is that Castro is a long time, like, he's a more tenured player, and he did just come back, but I would opt for Clark over him.
Yeah, it's like, if you were to do that with Castro, that's like having Britton not pitch and then being like, well, he's got a great career, so let's just throw Britton in there.
Yeah, I hope exactly what you said is what we do for the pitching.
Yeah, so maybe we're pretty locked in on pitchers then, especially with Chapman not making it. He made this a lot easier.
So much easier, dude.
Because then you're talking Chapman over either Litke, who's surprisingly been pretty good this year, Litke, Herman, or Clark. You're probably leaving one of those guys off if you're bringing Aroldis Chapman on. Thank God you're not. But we know the Yankees' obsession with Albert Abreu, dude. God, I don't want to see him pitch at all. I think pitchers are locked in, bro. I think it comes down to Benny, DJ, and Carpenter. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our big if. Obviously, got to carry two catchers.
Also, too, I got to say the catching situation.
Marwin, we don't know.
The catching situation, bro, I feel very comfortable. Like, Higgy, I think in the last month.
Oh, he was hot, bro.
Is his OPS was second behind freaking Judge or something like that. So I feel great about the catching situation. It's not like we have been in past years where we're debating, who would you want to catch in a playoff game, out like Gary or Higgy. So I feel comfortable with Trevino or Higgy. Obviously, I'd give more playing time to Trevino, but I'm not going to lose my shit as we would in past years. You know,
the only thing I will get mad about is Cole's splits are significantly better with Trevino behind the plate. If they try and do some weird shit and pitch Higgy or start Higgy tomorrow, I'll be very annoyed. I think they will as well. But also, should we guess the position players too? Because I think there's a conversation to have. There needs to be a backup shortstop, Rob. And I don't know if it will either be Marwin, Oswaldo. If
it makes it easier, if Benny's a part of the roster, then
exactly. If Benny's a part of the roster, Oswaldo's the backup shortstop. But if Benny's not a part of the roster, then you're talking, there's a really good chance that Peraza is the backup shortstop.
Yeah.
Because does Marwin make this team? I don't think so, dude. I really don't. Not if you have Waldo, and he's making the team.
They may say with Marwin in relation to the younger guys like Barraza, and just say he's been there and he's one he played against. He'd be playing against his old team potentially.
I don't want to hear it.
Just don't.
I don't want Marwin to be on this roster.
I think he's going to be on there, but that's just me. Because
it's not a bad thought.
He's a Swiss Army knife as well, an older Swiss Army knife, and he plays everywhere, so that puts an easier – it makes it easier for Boone. So I think he's going to be on there.
It's just – it really comes down to me who is – like you said, I think if Benny is on the roster, then I think Oswaldo is the backup shortstop / Marwin type of play wherever dude. But if Benny's not, then Oswaldo is designated to left field. Then you have to bring on a specific backup shortstop. Which, like you said, with Marwin, he can play shortstop and he can play everywhere. With Peraza, it's basically just shortstop and second.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Marwin plays first. Could probably play second. Short.
Could probably maybe pitch
third. Left field, right field. So.
Yeah. Oh, God. Why can't they release the freaking thing earlier, dude? Give us the postseason roster. I don't think it comes out till tomorrow.
It comes out tomorrow morning, they said.
Yeah, that sucks. Whatever. Don't give them time to plan. I don't care.
All right. A last thought to leave off here I wanted to just talk about. And so the whole conversation that's always been coming into the postseason with the Yankees, I've noticed at least, a lot of fans will always harp on the starting pitching always being the thing that will carry you through the postseason, which I agree with. And I think that the Yankees are set up the best that they have been at the start in the starting pitching department. The bullpen is another story. We'll see how that works out. It's kind of a flip of the coin at this point, in my opinion.
For real.
But dude, I've always made the argument, like when I'm in conversation with my friends that are Yankee fans or whatever, that like in past years it hasn't been as much on the pitching as much as it's been on the offense. Mm-hmm. And now this is the time, and I'll say it again, I say it every postseason in the past years, the offense finally shows up and they will like, bro, you hit home runs in the postseason, you win. And I will continue to say that. Hit home runs, play to the back of your baseball card of what you've been doing all season long, and you will find success in the postseason. And that's why I'm saying that Judge, Stanton, Rizzo need to be at the helm of the success for trying to push us forward through the postseason. And if you want to beat Houston, your offense has to show up. If you want to beat Cleveland, your offense has to show up. And that's just the name of the game. So I've always talked about in the postseason, it's everyone says starting pitching. I completely agree. And I think that we're set up the best we ever have been with the starting pitching. But my focus of concern when I'm watching this team in the postseason is timely hitting. Do what you did all year and what your baseball card says you did with all the home runs and the RBIs. Like, do that now is what I am looking for them to do, and all Yankee fans are looking for them to do.
100%, dude. I mean, when was the last time we came out and saw this team absolutely offensively take over a series in the playoffs? I mean, they kind of did it against Cleveland when they won, like, what was it, like 10-5 a few years ago?
Minnesota,
but they haven't.
Minnesota, yeah, they haven't, 1 year.
Okay, so 2019 ALDS against Minnesota.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man, it has been, but you're really set up for success in this postseason, in this series specifically. Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of rest. You're getting guys healthy. You're playing a team that just played 24 innings in 2 days with one off day, and that one off day is a travel day. Two off days, I'm sorry, because I didn't play yesterday. But you have home field advantage, obviously. I know you're playing the other division winner. But, dude, this is your time to bang, bro. Who knows if Judge is here, man? I didn't want to say it.
Oh, you did it. I wasn't even saying it. You said it.
I'm not saying it. But seriously, let's go out like, you know, Stan, Judge, Rizzo. We don't know how long they're going to be together, bro. I mean, Rizzo's under a 2-year contract. Like, I don't want to get into contract stuff, and I'm just, like, leading us down a terrible path right now, which we're not going to get into. But seriously, like, I want to see this team do something sick, obviously.
Yeah.
We've wanted to see that for some time now. You're set up really good to do it.
Absolutely. All right. I think we've covered everything. A little postseason preview. We will be at the stadium tomorrow, so that's exciting. We're just setting up our plan, so we'll figure that out. I will see you there. We will be recording after Game 1, so you see a pod on Wednesday. I then have, after Game 2, I have some stuff planned for, you know, wedding to attend, so we will be recording later, probably after Game 3, but we're going to try and record as much as we can after the games and talk about them directly so you guys can listen. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, man, playoff baseball. Any final thoughts leading into the series? I'm glad that we didn't make any predictions for the series, because I can't stand those. I can't. Yeah. I can't do them. I can't. Nah. It's just too stressful. It puts you in a bad spot.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do them.
I remember we made predictions our first year, COVID year, on the show, and it was just like, what? Like, I have to predict the Yankees, bro. But final thoughts, dude. Wandy, I want you to be freaking electric. Wandy, Trevino, and Efros, those are my three dudes I need to step up in the pen. I need three guys to step up in the pen. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
So Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. All right. Thank you guys for listening to episode 119, a little postseason preview. As always, subscribe, leave us a rate and review. Follow us at 4TrainSavages on Instagram as well as on TikTok, at 4Savages on Twitter. Hopefully the next time that we are talking to you, we're talking about a dominant start by Gerrit Cole in game one, and we're talking about a fantastic game one, and that we're set up for success for the rest of the series. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.